many Baptist churches, not just Grace Baptist churches, but we have we take a list of requests. We have our time of prayer after some after the request, after some praise, and then we'll come before the Lord in the worship through the Word. And that is there are some good traditions and there's some bad traditions. That's a good tradition. But there's not a great deal of precedence within the New Testament scriptures to actually say, well, you know, the disciples, apostles got together, took down the requests, and then prayed them. And it does speak of traditions, and it does speak of good traditions to Timothy. Paul speaks to Timothy. But sometimes we're creatures of tradition. Baptists have their traditions, even though we don't want to admit it. In breaking them, sometimes it meets with some tension. But I hope it doesn't, because I've grown to know a people in this last few months since I've been here that I believe is excited about what the Lord is doing. And I'm excited about something that's been on my heart, and I want to share it with you. And hopefully together, when we come together on Wednesday, it will present a dynamic in our prayer times like we've never had before. What I'd like for us to do, and we're going to have a word from the Lord in just a moment, for Him to instruct us on prayer, not exhaustively. I'm hoping that this may take over a few weeks, that we meet with the Lord, and when we come together for our prayer meeting on Wednesday, for the time being, we come with the intention to meet with our Lord. What a blessedness that is. Now, your needs are not unimportant, but I was reminded over several messages over the last few weeks, mine included, though I may not have used them in the sermons, of the importance of the spiritual over the material, that the material is unimportant. Even this last Sunday morning's message, it was a reminder again from our dear brother John Hunter, bringing that blessed message of blessed abundantly. And if you haven't heard that, you should listen to it. And if you haven't heard it, listen to it again. It's a wonderful message. So what we'll do is, starting this Sunday, I'm going to have slips of paper here, but as you are at home, take your requests, write them down, and we'll place them in our box over there. Then Brother Charlie and I will collect them and we'll compile them so that we'll have them to be able to pass out or to distribute. I hate, with this ALS, I hate using the term pass out because I fall down all the time. So we'll distribute those so that we know how we can pray in our prayer closet. But it doesn't mean that on Wednesdays we will stop bringing up those requests. In fact, I suggest that possibly for the time being what we'll do is maybe 3 weeks we'll go through this, meeting with the Lord, and then on that fourth week we'll take those requests unto Him and bring it before the Lord as a congregation be ministered to that way. Somebody mentioned one time that I heard in a message that people that pray, pray, and that people that don't, teach. And I beg to differ with that. Because the instruction through the scriptures is so prevalent concerning prayer as that means in which God gives us to meet with Him. It's a grace. And as we are grace people, we should embrace that grace as that time to not only communicate with God, but to commune with Him. And to not teach a prayer. For those that are teachers, teachers should teach on prayer when the scriptures allow for it, or even with times when it's impressed upon us. As teachers and preachers, we should teach in prayer, but we should teach in prayer prayerfully. So to forsake the one apart from the other, as I'm a teacher and a preacher of the Word of God, I need to be in prayer. I want to be in prayer and communing with my Lord, but to forsake the teaching of the Word, That is wrong. And I think that we are a place in our hearts as a people, as a congregation. I'm more certain today than ever I was, as I was kind of wondering. I'm even doubting. Is this what we're doing, Lord? I don't want to copy anything we did in Scammon Bay. This is Anniston, and this is Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, and I want to do, and I'm sure that our people want to do what you want us to do. And so I'm so impressed upon my heart that this is what I think the Lord is moving us to do, to meet with Him. And then I believe Not that he is obligated to do anything. I actually believe that there's something that's going to happen so marvelous that if he told us what it was through our prayer times, we wouldn't believe it. We'd have to all call ourselves Habakkuk. It's just incredible, I think, what he's going to do with Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. So what I'm going to do, before we open up the Word, I just also want to give you this final instruction. What we'll do, once we do open the Word, and just in a devotional time, we'll break up into our normal groups. The men will go on over here so we can keep it smaller, because what I really desire is for every one of us to have the opportunity to pray, especially in this way as the Lord will instruct us tonight and in the weeks to come. And I think it's really important that we break up into those smaller groups. And also with men and women, that would be a good thing as well, so that we can be as open as we can unto the Lord in praying like this. And then we'll return once we finish praying, just like we did before, whereas after we had our time in prayer and we came and the Lord unfolded the Word to us, we will just do that. And instead of going into the Word, since we already received instruction from the Lord and worshiped Him through His Word, we will close. I've asked Brother John if he would lead us in a closing hymn and then a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. And if that sounds exciting, I hope it sounds exciting to you. It's really exciting to me now that it's time, because I've been praying about it. I've even mentioned it to brothers before the time came so that I could be encouraged with hearing how it sounded when I said it, and also maybe even get some input, because I haven't arrived, and having the strength of brethren who have been there before, done that, bought the t-shirt, I do rest upon not only the wisdom of God in the Spirit, but also His wisdom upon other men. So let's turn to Luke chapter 11 for a devotional word from the Lord. Thank you, Brother Gene. Verse 1 of chapter 11, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in heaven so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In verse 5, he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" That is certainly the word of the Lord. And He will add His abundant blessings to the reading of His truth. Let's pray. Father, in heaven, oh, we ask You, Lord, that You minister unto us the words of our Lord Jesus, that we may have time of communion with You, with the triune God, that we may communicate with You, that we may have direction, but in the focused direction first of meeting with You, for Thou art our desire. Thou, as we sang earlier today, art our vision. And may we have harmony even as we were led today to sing it melodiously unto you. May our prayers be in concert, in harmony, in one accord, even as it was in the days of old, as we read in the book of the Acts. We ask you, Father, to minister unto us through this time, in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Now, tonight we're going to look at a real synopsis of this model prayer first. And then as the weeks continue, I know we're taking a break from the Puritan Catechism, and Lord willing, we may come back to it. But I think this is so important for us as a congregation right now. We look at the model of the Lord's Prayer and incredibly, think about this, that in this portion in Luke chapter 11, it almost coincides with where we are in the Gospel of John chapter 7. After 3 years of the Lord's ministry upon the planet, after possibly 2 to 2.5 years of constant following with the Lord, here his disciples finally ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Because Jesus came out of a time of prayer, and they noticed that every time that the Lord went to be with the Heavenly Father, He came back and there was glory upon their Master. There was glory upon their Teacher. There was glory upon their Lord. And things happened. And they wanted to be a part of this, possibly. I find it interesting that they would come to him after all this time. And then what does Jesus say? He says this right here in verse 2. And he said to them, when you pray, say. Now, he didn't say when you pray, do this or do that or do these other things. He said, when you pray, say. It's speaking. Which is good because we understand that the power of God is in the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And that we, if we have the Spirit of God in us, and with us, and upon us, then we say things to God. We speak His Word back to Him. And it is a conversation. More, it is a conversation of Him speaking to us, that His Word becomes alive in us, and we speak again unto Him. But it's interesting, because as we did read it earlier, and you do notice that it is almost exactly the same as what we see in Matthew chapter 6, about a year and a half, about a year's worth of time had passed when Matthew records, in fact, he records it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because Matthew wasn't even called as a disciple at that time. And he records the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and in the middle of it, smack in the middle of the sermon, the Lord says, when you pray, pray in this way. He gives instructions even at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6 to say, pray like this. And you notice, first of all, it's not the same prayer, exactly the same words. And I'm grateful for that. That's why when I mentioned it's the model prayer of what people call commonly the Lord's Prayer. But since the disciples asked it, I like to call this the disciples' prayer. This is how we should pray. You want to see the Lord's Prayer, we've got to go to John 17, when we're not going to go there tonight. That's how the Lord prayed. And we may have elements of that in our times of prayer as we look through this. But it's not the same exact prayer. It's good because it's a model prayer, because it has elements of truth in it. And so when we do speak to the Lord, we do speak. We say things. We don't get into all these other things like these hyper-charismatic folks do get into as far as when they pray. It is a conversation. And I think it's going to be a good conversation and a reverent one, because it does start off, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Therefore, there's an air of reverence when we come before the Lord. There must be, because He is a holy God. None of these shenanigans. We come there specifically to be reverent before Him. We could break up this prayer into possibly 8 different sections, and we'll probably cover it in that with some caveats at the end of a series, as we call this possibly the series, The Lord Teach Us to Pray. But in these 8 sections, You can call them 8 declarations because they are biblical truth. You can say, when we're praying like this, in this model, and when we come to each portion, we can say it's a declaration because it reveals something of our God, of our Heavenly Father, of the Lord Jesus, and even of the Spirit, of the triune God. So there's 8 declarations within this. But you could call them also 8 petitions. We can call them 8 petitions. For example, here would be a first petition or first declaration. Our Father, which art in heaven. He's a heavenly Father. Here's as far as a declaration, because Jesus Christ went to the cross and suffered that death as a substitution and purchased us, bought us by God's grace so that we are brought into fellowship, just as we heard from the word of the Lord on Sunday, that we have this blessedness of union with God and a particular relationship into the family of God, so He is distinctly our Father. So we declare that. But it's also a petition because the relationship doesn't just stop because we're born again. Just as our relationship with our parents doesn't just stop because we've opened the matrix from the womb. We grow, and the relationship with our parents grows too. We get to know them, they get to know us. Not that God gets to know us, He knows all. But are getting to know Him. So there's a petition, our Father, let me understand you more. Be my Father. Let me understand this relationship. Like, hallowed be thy name. Again, I mentioned the reverence and also the reverence of the name. And that Jesus also gave us instruction to pray whatsoever things we ask in His name. Holy is the name of Jesus. And sometimes we treat the name of Jesus as if it's like any Tom, Dick, or Harry on the street. We treat the name of Jesus with irreverence. Jesus, my bro. Jesus, my homeboy. But no, we come to Jesus in the name of, we come to the Father in the name of Jesus with great reverence. Holy is His name. Thy kingdom come. Here's a declaration that it has been done. When Jesus paid His life upon the cross, I don't have to wait for this, all these weird things from, you know, Timothy LaHaye saying that there's going to be this period of time. When He comes, He's going to come because He paid it all on the cross. I believe that. Now, there's differing views. Other folks have those. And I wouldn't disfellowship them because they have other views. But I believe that His kingdom has come because of what happened upon the cross. And there's a declaration there. But there's a petition. Lord, make Your kingdom more real to me that I see the depth and the beauty of what You have done. And then Thy will be done. There's the declaration. Here's the declaration that Your will is done. That I read in Scripture that Your decrees are from before the foundation of the earth. They are eternal decrees. And You will accomplish all that is in Your good purpose. But there's a petition there. Lord, help me to lay down my will. As Jesus Christ emptied Himself of all His will as a man to say, I am filled with the Father's will. When He went into times of prayer, I believe that it wasn't that He had to struggle in one sense with saying, oh no, I got these things, my flesh is working against me. No, He constantly came before the Father to say, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Great, great things concerning Thy will be done. Even in the garden, Jesus prayed that. Because if He didn't pray that, it would have been sin. He would have rushed headlong into sin. And that's a great part of the petition and the request of that prayer. As in heaven, so in earth. And that goes along with that, and I don't want to cover that. I just want to keep it brief. Give us day by day our daily bread, whereas in Matthew it says, give us this day our daily bread. Same thing, daily is our daily bread. But I believe most significantly that it's not, this is why we're not taking the request tonight, that though they're not unimportant, they are important. God is as concerned with your material, physical, mental, and emotional well-being as anything else. But spiritual is always, 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 always first. We're reminded of that this Sunday. I want to remind you again this Wednesday. The spiritual is always first. So when it speaks of that, it could speak of it. Many people say so, but I believe it doesn't. Because in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus talks of giving us this day our daily bread, for the rest of the chapter, He tells us how unimportant what it is that we should eat or drink or whatever that we do. We're supposed to do unto the glory of God, according to 1 Corinthians. We're supposed to 10 in verse 31, but it says, don't think about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to, how you're going to, you know, go about your daily thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. He goes through all that stuff. Consider the lilies of the valley. He goes for a whole, the rest of the chapter to not care about, to not be anxious over our physical needs. I know that you have them. I know them. I have them too. I'm going through some things. My wife is going through some things that we haven't been through before. But I believe that it is for my patience. And it is for my betterance. For being better as a better man, as a better husband, as a better father, and as a hopefully a better pastor. But just overall as a better man, that I can increase from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Wonderful things. Give me, Lord, give me your daily bread. And just in a nutshell, and we'll cover it, Lord willing, as if the Lord should tarry, give us this day our daily bread. It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God, because actually Jesus commented on it right here in Luke 11. He speaks of the Holy Spirit. How much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So our daily bread. And he uses the illustration of someone coming at midnight for bread. So, I'd make a connection there. And then three, it's the Lord Jesus Himself. The Lord Jesus Himself, because He is the bread of life. And we just finished a few weeks back in John chapter 6 to really recognize who that is, what our daily bread is. And how much better is our life when those are the three things that are most important to us. The Word of God that reveals to us Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. And we have those three things. I have meat that you know not of, we'll be saying, just as Jesus did to the woman at the, or to his disciples when he was with the woman at the well. Then we have, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. There is a declaration. God, you have forgiven me of sins. The remission through the blood of Jesus Christ, a declaration, but also 1 John 1 and verse 7, when we commit sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Excuse me, that's verse 8. But verse 9. But 1 John verse 1 and through 7 speaks of our forgiveness of sin. So we ask that. We sin daily because we're flesh. And when that glory comes, then we won't have to pray that prayer anymore. But it is a declaration. Also, the next part of that is also awesome and interesting. Forgive everyone that is indebted to us. It says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Is there legalism there? Absolutely not. It is evidence that there has been a regenerated work, a regenerative work in our lives when we pray a prayer like that, because I ask for compassion. There's my petition. Lord, give me the forgiveness of others, for others that you have had upon me. And it's also an evidence that if I'm bearing a grudge, I must examine myself whether I'm in the faith, or whether I prove myself to be reprobate. If I hold a grudge against anyone and I cannot ever get rid of it, then it may be an evidence that I'm not saved. But if there is a struggle, and there oftentimes there is, and the Lord brings us through that, when there is a breakthrough in forgiveness and compassion, it's shed abroad in our hearts like it we'll see in Romans chapter 5 this Sunday, shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that is given us, that love abounds because it is that which is of the Spirit that reveals that truth, and His love pours forth. His love pours forth through the prayerful child of God. Then we have, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this is where we'll end up closing it off. And these two are almost in the one, because they complement one another as one. I'll tell you that the last part of this in Luke, but deliver us from evil, isn't actually in the Greek. They've included it because it's in Matthew chapter 6. But it doesn't mean that it being included there, whether it's included here or not, it's not that important. It was in Matthew 6, and if the Lord had said it and taught it, then it's good enough to be a part of the prayer, the model prayer. But lead us not into temptation. Well, we're told that we will suffer tribulation, persecution, and the world will hate us. We're promised that. So what does it mean to lead us not into temptation? 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that the Lord will not allow us to be tempted beyond what our means, and that implies that we will be tempted. But it is just like in the Lord's Prayer. To not pray to lead us not into temptation would be a sin, because we desire for that day when we'll never be tempted, when we are with Him. And we will have temptations, but we ask, and we also declare, because see, it says, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into testing or the trials. We declare that even though Satan tempt us, God is sovereign. In our prayer, we always recognize the sovereignty of God. Isn't that wonderful? And then finally, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. In fact, it says in the Greek, it's more specific. It uses a definite article. Deliver us from the evil. What evil is that? I believe it's the evil of, one, the flesh. Deliver us from the evil of the flesh. Keep us from being hindered by our flesh that we might meet with you. It's one way. It's a declaration plus it's a petition. And I'm only concentrating on the petition right now. And we'll cover these more definitely. And because my desire, before I finish that point, because that's going to close up the message, the devotion. My desire is that when we do meet tonight and move into our groups and pray, that maybe one element is specifically on your heart. And if you do have a request, I don't want you to not bring up a petition or a request just because, well, we're not doing that right now. We're just seeking the Lord. If the Lord prompts you to do that, then raise it up in the hearing of our ears. That's fine. But know this, that the first and foremost important thing is that we're meeting as a congregation to meet with God, because that's the important thing every time we come together to pray. And if we do this as a congregation, our prayer times personally will become more dynamic, because there is a spiritual truth, that a spiritual principle that will be working in us, because we're being disciplined as a congregation. Therefore, as individuals, and we'll come forth with that kind of discipline in our personal prayer closets. And so that when we do pray our petitions and requests, there is going to be a great spiritual awakening in our own hearts as we do. So that last one, deliver us from the evil. The deliverance of the evil of our flesh, as I mentioned. Also the deliverance of the evil of the world. Keep the world from pressing against us. We ask that as a petition, but we also declare it, because Satan is bound. He's not without power, just as Paul was bound when he went to Jerusalem. He still preached. He still witnessed the gospel. He wrote the several epistles of the New Testament, though bound. Satan is bound because his authority is crushed. It happened at the cross. And of that truth we pray, Lord, let not the world press against us. There's a petition, but there is a declaration. Jesus Christ upon the throne. He is victory. He is victorious. He is truth. And finally, deliver us from the evil. It's a prayer to hasten the Lord's coming. We have a hope in every prayer because we desire Him to come. We desire that our Lord Jesus be made manifest, that He appear, and that He come for us, and that we will see Him as He is, for we shall be like Him, that we will be glorified. This mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. There is a prayer also, there's a petition to deliver us from the evil of all these things, that we might be complete and worship Him, and that all the things of this prayer, model prayer, will be done away with, because as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. And all that will be left, I'm paraphrasing now, all that will be left is love. We will need no faith, because it will not have to stand just only upon the Word of God. We will see Him as He is, as it says in 1 John 3. And it won't be on hope. And hope in the Bible is not a, well, I hope it doesn't rain today, and in an uncertainty. Hope in the Bible is a certainty, but we don't know when it's going to be. In Hebrew, it's the word tikvah. And it is a certainty that it is going to happen, we just don't know when. But since it's happened, when the Lord has come, we certainly will know when. And all that will abide is the love of God, and we can bask in that forever and ever and ever. let us go before Him in prayer before we go in our time of truly seeking after Him. Lord, You have instructed us, and there's much more instruction to be had. We thank You, Father, for Your Word, and pray that a dynamic prayer life will become a part of every one of our individual lives, not just as we ask for our needs to be met, but Lord, that as individuals, we pray because we've learned as a congregation to meet with You, to truly pray, and not to be people that pray, but to be people of prayer. Father, hear that prayer. Make us people that meet with You. Make us like Jesus in this area, that we may be praying people, that we may be people empowered by Your Spirit, communing with Your Spirit, and that that prayer may be a dynamic in our lives that is like the dynamite, the dunamis, the power of the coming upon of the Holy Spirit, just as it was on that Pentecostal day. Meet with Your people, Lord. Teach us to pray through our prayer and bring us into exhilarating heights of prayer week by week and moment by moment as we pray as individuals in Jesus' name. Amen.